This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello and welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about peas.
If you please.
And I do please.
Excellent, because we're talking about it either way. So I'm glad that you do please talk about peas. That is a rhyme, FYI, that my dad used to say every time we had peas. And I could never figure out if it was an actual poem or if he just said it because it rhymed. But if you're curious where I get all of my love of bad puns and wordplay.
Everything's falling into place.
That is one piece of the puzzle. And it turns out, doing peas, I had a couple of weird memories associated with them. One is, have you heard of the English nest?
No, I have no idea. You wrote that in the notes, and I was like, well, okay.
I wonder if anyone else, is this just some weird thing that made up in my family? Well, so the English nest, and I'm pretty sure I read a story about it in one of those literature textbooks
okay.
in high school, so I think it's a thing. It's where you get your mashed potatoes and you make a little indent in them.
Uh-huh.
And then you put the peas in there and it looks like a bird's nest with eggs in it.
Oh.
And then you eat it and it's good. It's an odd but good mixture.
Okay.
Okay, so please write in if that's not just me that did that. It usually came with ham as well, at least in my family.
Okay. What did the ham represent?
Oh, my goodness. I guess that'd be like a hawk destroying your nest.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Goodness.
Or maybe it's just a pig.
That just took a dark turn. Okay. Well, yes. There is also, of course, the fairy tale of the princess and the pea.
Yes, which was one of my favorite stories as a kid. I had a pretty I bought it at the book fair. And side note, I miss the book fair so much. That was such an exciting day.
Right? I think about this all the time. And I mean, like, I have access to plenty of books. I also have, like, real money in, like, bookstores nearby that I could go to. But, like, the book fair.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Got to get out of class and, like, go look around at books in a little shop sometimes. But I bought The Princess and the Pea at one of my first book fairs.
Aww.
And it was so beautifully illustrated. It's longer than the the one I found in the public domain, because we recently did that food fairy tale episode, and I was like, Princess and the Pea. And it was like two paragraphs long. The one I have is not much longer, but it's longer than that, probably so it would have more pages and they could sell it for more.
Well.
You know. Anyway.
I'm sure it had lovely illustrations as well. Did it have lovely illustrations?
It did and does. I still have it. It's one of the – there are a couple of books I could not get rid of, like children's books, and that is one. So maybe I'll bring it in.
Yeah.
You can take a look.
Absolutely.
But we're getting away from our first question, so let's return to it. Peas. What are they?
Peas are the fruit of a climbing vine, scientific name Pisum sativum. The vine flowers, and pea pods grow from those flowers, you know, these like long, skinny, yellow or green containers that plump up with seeds as the seeds develop. Now, I said that those pods are a fruit, and botanically they are, but they're more commonly called legumes. And legume is the word for the fruit of a plant in the family Fabaceae. Thanks to listener Kelsey for writing in the last time I mispronounced it a little bit. I was going off of Forvo.com's Latin pronunciation. I don't know. Anyway, but back in the day, the Fabaceae family was called the Leguminosae. Not the Leguminati. The Leguminosae. Sorry,
I wanted her so badly to say that.
But hence the name legumes. These fruits typically consist of a pod with two long seams, you know, on each side. And the pod contains high-protein, high-fiber seeds. Some varietals of Pisum sativum have edible pods, like saccharatum, snow peas, and macrocarpon, or sugar snaps. But today, we're talking mostly about non-edible potted peas.
This is the Non-Edible Potted Peas podcast.
It's exactly
rebranding for this episode.
So the seeds develop in these pods, you know, wee green or yellow spheres. And you can either let the whole fruit ripen and then stop growing and dry out on the vine and then shell the dry peas and save them, either to plant later or to cook in liquid so that they rehydrate. These dried peas are sometimes hulled, that is, the skin is taken off, leaving just the inner bit, which will often split into two halves at that point, and these are split peas.
Oh, I see.
Or you can pick the fruit when the seeds are still immature. You shell them and either eat them or cook the peas fresh or freeze them or can them for later. And at this point, they might be called
the garden pea, green peas, English peas, so many names for peas. All you can please.
Oh, my goodness. They're a little sweet, a little savory, slash earthy, sort of fresh and grassy, and have a texture a little bit like potatoes, like creamy to mealy. Speaking of mashed potatoes, yeah, I guess those would go well together.
Mm. Right.
The skin of the pea can create a pleasant, like, burst or snap when you bite into one.
Mm-hmm.
You can also soak dried peas overnight and then coat them with some kind of flavoring, like a wasabi-flavored rice flour, for example, and then fry them in oil or hot air or roast them, which leaves them sort of dehydrated and crispy. Wasabi peas.
So good.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves are also used as a vegetable or herb in parts of Asia and Africa, and they are an annual plant, which means that they die off after a single growing season and further crops need to be replanted from seed. They also, like many other legumes, have this amazing and fascinating symbiotic relationship with bacteria that live in the soil around their roots. All right, here's the gig. These bacteria need sugars produced by photosynthesis to live, but the bacteria themselves cannot photosynthesize. So they form colonies, these little nodules on the pea's roots. Meanwhile, the pea plants need nitrogen to create chlorophyll and a bunch of other important stuff like various proteins, but they can't use free-ranging nitrogen in the air. They can't absorb it, even though it's one of the most abundant elements in our atmosphere. So in turn, the bacteria breathe in nitrogen from the air and process that nitrogen into ammonia, which plants can use. This process is called nitrogen fixation. And peas and other legumes, along with their little bacteria buddies, fix so much nitrogen in the soil that there's a surplus even after the peas' growing season is over. They leave the land better than they found it.
Oh.
Yeah. So for this reason, legumes are a popular crop to plant in rotation with other crops that deplete the soil. And gardeners can use peas, like alongside other vegetables, to reduce or ideally eliminate the need to fertilize.
Way to go, peas.
Yeah.
Good for the earth. But are they good for you?
Yeah.
We're talking nutrition. Yes, yes. peas have a decent amount of protein, potassium, iron, calcium, amino acids, and complex carbs. They're a low-fat, low-sodium food, and they show up in all kinds of things, some healthier than others. Pasta, soups, the notorious pea soup.
Oh, I love a split pea soup.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had one outside of once when I was a kid, and The Exorcist is the only thing I can envision. they show up frequently in fried rice. There's pea flour and pea protein, just to name a few.
And these days, there's also pea milk.
Oh, yeah.
And pea yogurt on the market for folks who want their dairy alternatives to be soy and nut-free. Personally, I think that pea yogurt tastes not good.
Oh, I have not had it.
It's one of the very few foods that I've ever been like, nope, not this one.
Why? What was it? What was the taste like?
Oh, it was just sort of...
Oh, the face you're making is not good.
It was sort of planty. it was sort of like I was eating like a salad yogurt or like a, but like.
Oh, that's what Google thinks of women right there.
Not in a.
Salad plus yogurt.
But not in a nice way. I was not a woman laughing alone with salad yogurt.
Well, who is though?
I don't know. My salads are frequently hilarious.
Good. That makes me happy. Most of the time I'm just kind of like, this is okay.
I was joking, unfortunately. back to peas. Frozen peas, I will say, are just as nutritious as fresh peas. And they are the most common frozen vegetable in the United States.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like frozen peas are popular here to the point that it's really hard to find fresh peas outside of like farmers markets or your own garden.
Yes.
Bon Appetit ran a headline in 2017. PSA. Frozen peas are actually better than fresh. Bold words, I know.
Yeah.
The article was touting frozen peas' convenience and quality and ability to be cooked into dishes without being thawed first. And to be fair, peas that are frozen are like a couple hours out of the field when they are frozen. And they're sorted using this fun saltwater process, like a really specific gravity of salt water to make sure that only the younger, more tender, less starchy ones make it into packaging. The tender ones float to the top. The starchy ones sink in this specific saltwater solution. And there's no such guarantee on peas that you shell yourself, folks.
I'll have to tell my mom that, because if you remember in our frozen food episode, every summer we buy so many peas at the farmer's market here in Atlanta, the one off of 75 South for you, Lauren. Everyone else is like, oh. It's a really big farmer's market. And we blanch them and we freeze them.
And the blanching hurts.
It hurts because your hands are hot and then they're cold. And then you do it again until we usually get 20, like, freezer-sized bags of peas, and we put them in this locked chest freezer, and I never see them, you know, because I don't live at home anymore. So I'm putting all this work into it.
Why doesn't she give you some to take home?
I think I probably say no. I'm like, I'd never want to see peas again. And then, like, a week later, I'm over it, and I'm thinking, wow, I really wish I had some of those fresh peas. They do usually turn out very well, very delicious.
I believe you.
Fresh, crispy. Well, yeah. Crunchy is how I like them.
Yeah. On an industrial level, the sheer volume involved in creating frozen peas within hours of the crops being picked means that farmers have to stagger their plantings and their pickings so that the freezing facility they're working with will have the capacity to take their harvest when the peas are ripe enough. It's this whole, like, labyrinthian schedule. It's fascinating.
I would love to. Just to observe for a little bit. Maybe that would put my struggles in perspective.
Aw.
My one day of struggle a year with peas.
I maintain there has to be some better way than plunging your hands into hot peas and ice.
My mom does it like a pro.
Spoons, perhaps?
That probably is a really easy solution.
Have you heard of slotted spoons?
Slotted spoons, you say?
I do say.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to think about this.
Let's look at some numbers.
Yes, let's look at some numbers. Somewhere around 12 to 17.4 million tons of peas are produced a year.
And I was trying to dig into this number, and I couldn't. I'm not sure if that's just dried peas.
Ooh.
I think it might be just dried peas.
That's wild.
Because I kept seeing like about 12 million tons of dried peas every year, and there's hypothetically a lot of fresh frozen peas.
From what we've been discussing, it seems logical.
I think that there could be at least at anyway.
There's a lot of peas.
There's a lot of peas, and Mordor intelligence for once failed me on the fresh pea thing.
They're busy trying to capture hobbits. We can't blame them for that.
Oh, it's not my fault that someone named a company that. Anyway.
They're native to North Africa and Asia, and you can still find wild peas in parts of Iran, Ethiopia, and Afghanistan. Canada was the largest producer in 2000, though, with China, Russia, and France following its lead. And this is another food that's eaten all over in all kinds of different ways. In parts of Asia, dried peas are a popular snack. And addition to stir fries, that's a pretty popular choice. Mushy peas in England, mm-hmm. usually with your fish and chips, perhaps.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Note, however, that we are mostly not talking about American southern field peas, like black-eyed peas and other black, brown, cream, red type peas, which are more like beans and tend to taste more earthy. A lot of things are called peas, y'all.
They really are.
Which is a good segue to our history segment, but a bad segue to an ad. But first, we're going to take you on that ad break.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. So, yes, some of the history gets a little murky because there are three main types of peas that sometimes get confused for each other when we're talking about history. Peas were one of the first domesticated plants around 8,000 years ago, most likely in the Middle East or South or Central Asia. They are one of the eight founder crops, or eight of the earliest domesticated crops ever. From there, the pea soon appeared in China and India, if that's not where it originated in the first place. Oh, history. if we're talking pre-domestication, some evidence suggests the Neanderthals were eating peas 46,000 years ago.
Oh.
Might not be the same pea, though. I would say probably not the same pea.
Probably not.
Other evidence suggests that two types of peas were each domesticated from a now extinct ancestor about 11,000 years ago in the Near East. The first known evidence of purposeful pea cultivation is out of Syria 9,300 years ago. Those domesticating the pea did so selectively, attempting to get to a softer-shelled, wet-season-ready crop. Ancient Greeks, Egyptians, Romans all enjoyed peas in their cuisine. The Apicius, that really old cookbook recipe book, had 9 recipes that utilized dried peas. Pea soup was a common to-go item sold by street vendors in ancient Athens, which I find very curious indeed. One story goes that after Romans encountered it, they named it Pisum, and that is where the name comes from. But about that name. Okay, so originally, peas, as in P-E-A-S-E, was the name for a single pea until the late 17th century, when it became known as the plural. So people seeing this peas thought that that was the plural of...
Oh, would say it out loud and say peas, and then from there you get the singular pea.
Yes.
Oh.
So it was kind of a big misunderstanding.
Oh, but people were saying peases?
Peases, yeah.
That's great.
I know.
Let's go back to that.
We can try it.
Perfect.
But you can still see peas in the rhyme peas porridge hot, which I don't know, but apparently is a lasting rhyme.
Peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in a pot 9 days old.
Look at you, Lauren.
Font.
You really are. Always surprising me with these rhymes about peas and other things. Peas itself is possibly way, way older. Pre-Indo-European, maybe even Aegean.
Wow.
I went on a hunt to prove that peas was related to Pisa, as in Leaning Tower of, but no dice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But Pisa is in its family tree, like a word family tree. I'm really bummed about it, but you can't always get what you want.
You can. It's good life advice, Annie.
The Rolling Stones taught me that. Peas reached China in 7th century CE, possibly called foreign legume. Peas at this time may be eaten fresh, but were commonly dried. Dried peas were a big time winter food. These peas were more closely resembled to chickpeas, though. Charlemagne had peas planted in his gardens in 800 CE France, and at the same time, peas were a popular staple for peasants, which I also went on a word hunt to see if
peasants and
peas was related, and it's not, or at least I didn't find any evidence that it was. Well, they stored well, and they kept for a long time, so they were a good peasant food. And green peas for Lent were stored in the Barking Nunnery in 12th century London. A century later in France, fresh peas in the pod was a popular street food item. They would go on to become a go-to food for Lent in France and England.
Sure. Full of protein, you know.
Yeah.
You're not eating meat.
And I think for back when we had big family dinners when I was younger, on Easter, I believe we had peas.
It's a pretty popular spring. Fresh peas are a good spring thing.
They are, yeah.
A little bit of mint and lemon, maybe.
Mm-hmm. In 16th century Italy, gardeners cultivated a smaller, tenderer pea called piselli novelli. People loved these things. It was the fashion to eat unripe peas.
By unripe, just like, yeah, like immature green peas. Because previously, most of them had been eaten dried.
Yeah, and all the way up until the 17th century, people were sort of head over heels in love with these things. A female friend of the Sun King, Louis XIV, had this to say about fresh peas, which could be wildly expensive, by the way. This subject of peas continues to absorb all others. Some ladies, even after having supped at the royal table, and well supped too, returning to their homes at the risk of suffering from indigestion, will again eat peas before going to bed.
It is both a fashion and a madness. I mean,
they're good.
They are good.
I mean, they're real good.
They are. They have such an interesting texture thing going on.
Yeah, it's that pop and then the kind of creamy thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite dishes that I had in England. Mm. Just, again, like peas, a little bit of lemon, a little bit of mint. They were just so green.
They are very bright.
They were just so, I felt like they tasted like the land and the air.
Oh, now I'm going to have to get peas. Every episode this happens. Every episode, almost. And I have a slight aside because doing this episode, the main reason I wanted to do it was mostly because of genetics. We'll get into that more later. But I did – a lot of these memories got jumbled around in my head. Did you ever play – well, wait a minute. Did you take – what language did you take?
Spanish.
Spanish. Okay, so you didn't play this game.
No.
Anyone who took French, please write in if you remember playing the game, the Sun King game, where you were wandering around his court and trying to please people. Like, it was a computer game that we'd play in French class to learn French.
Huh.
And I just totally forgot about it. I remember it being incredibly frustrating. You could never figure out what they wanted, which might have been the lesson.
Oh.
That
wow.
Might have been it.
That's a little bit existential for, what, like middle school? But
yeah.
Sure. All right.
Well, speaking of fashion, that trendsetter, Catherine de' Medici, introduced peas to France during the 1500s, and the French named them tiny peas, petit pois. Due to the popularity of peas in France, some towns were named after recipes associated with their town that incorporated peas. Street vendors in England advertised their hot gray peas with a suck of bacon around this time as well. New varieties developed in England around this time were known as garden peas and English peas.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's some Europe for you. Europe really digging into this dish of peas. We do have some new world stuff.
Uh-huh.
But first, we have one last quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Let's hit it! Give me a vacation!
Vacation!
Give me a wave!
Surfing!
Give me a city tour!
The trolley!
Give me animals!
The zoo!
Give me some sea life! Give me museums!
Balboa Park!
Give me a woo!
Roller coaster!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
The colonist, brought peas with them to the New World, in quotes. They kept well and were good for voyages, so kind of an obvious choice to take with you. Settlers in Canada's New France bought with them pea soup. If you remember at the beginning, we said the top grower was Canada and France was in the top five.
Yeah.
I find that really kind of interesting.
There's a pea legacy.
There is a pea legacy. And once again, it's time to talk about someone else with a legacy. Thomas Jefferson.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He and his neighbors engaged in a battle of the peas to see who could grow them in their garden first. And Thomas Jefferson came out in front.
Hopping back over to Europe.
In the 1790s, peas appeared in their first genetic study, one led by Thomas Andrew Knight.
And of course, genetics weren't, I mean, it's technically what he was studying, but
right.
He didn't know it at the time. But he was working with different colored peas and observing how cross-fertilizing them could affect the color of future generations.
Mm-hmm. France's 1800s encyclopedia, The Vegetable Garden, included 50 pages on different types of peas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then along comes one Gregor Mendel in the 1860s. Mendel was an Austrian monk who realized that some pea traits were more dominant than others. He carried out a series of experiments that were the precursor to the laws of genetic inheritance. While he died pretty much as an unknown, his research came back into the scientific zeitgeist in the 1900s, and his contributions to genetics was recognized.
Yeah, he's currently called like the father of genetics in some circles.
Mm-hmm.
And Mendel was using pea plants because they're inexpensive, they're easy to grow and keep track of, easier even than mice and honeybees, which is what he started with. Part of why his work didn't catch on during the time was that the prevailing theory was that offspring are a blend of their parents' traits. You know, like if you've got a tall mom and a short dad, you'll be of medium height. So therefore, what Mendel was saying, you know, that two tall parents can produce a short offspring because the short trait may have been inherited, just recessive.
Right.
It was unintuitive to people at the time. Especially because humans are more genetically complicated than pea plants, but no one knew about genes yet, so it seemed really easily dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, his concepts of receiving a random assortment of traits from each parent, half of the traits that they had each inherited from their parents, would become the basis of chromosomal heredity in the early 1900s.
The humble pea.
The humble pea.
The Campbell Company, yes, that Campbell Company, chose peas as one of the first things to can in 1870. As mentioned in our frozen foods episode, they were also some of the first vegetables to be frozen around the 1920s.
And speaking of frozen peas,
yes,
there is this absolutely bizarre and delightful moment in relatively recent history in which famed actor, writer, and director Orson Welles absolutely pitched a fit while attempting to record a few commercials, one being for frozen peas. Another one was for cod fish fingers, and I can't believe I forgot that when we were doing our cod episode. Oh, anyway, this fit he pitched, this was after he reportedly made the recording crew chase him all over Europe, like at least five locations around Europe, as sort of revenge for them requesting an audition.
How dare they?
this happened around 1970, so he was already quite famous and really infamous also for being pretty persnickety, and had taken to doing ads to help pay for his pet projects. And I think we can roll a little bit of this here because it's gold.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it?
If you can make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July peas grow there. We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. We aren't even in the fields, you see.
Yeah.
We're talking about them growing, and she's picked them.
Yeah.
On what?
In July.
I don't understand you, then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas when I said in July. That's just idiotic, if you'll forgive me by saying so. That's just stupid. In July. I'd love to know how you emphasize in and in July.
We just actually played a little bit of it in the studio here. Annie, do you have any thoughts, feelings, reactions?
I love how his tone stays very, like, even the whole time. It sounds reasonable, but what he's saying is
super unreasonable.
Super unreasonable. And I told Lauren, I don't know what part we played, but I'm determined to say, you don't know what I'm up against. In a, like, straight voice.
Yeah.
In regular conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe by the end of the day.
I think you can. I have faith in you.
I think I can.
Yeah.
I got goals from Orson.
But yeah, if that sounds familiar to anyone who has never actually listened to that Orson Welles clip, but who was perhaps watching Animaniacs or The Critic back in the 1990s, that's because Maurice LaMarche, whose Welles impersonation is super on point and mm-hmm. what I would say the Brain character is based on, he did it pretty much verbatim in Pinky and the Brain, except he, like, put in family-friendly phrasing for a few things. And he also parodied it in The Critic. So, yeah, you can look up the full audio under the names Yes Always or Frozen Peas. If you just want a real good giggle, I recommend it.
Now that you pointed out, yes, the Brain, so much, very much. That show scared me as a kid.
Yeah?
I wonder. And I could never put my finger on why.
Huh.
It just really unsettled me.
It did, but in a way that I liked. Then again, I'm like, I was a little bit older than you at the time, so I might have.
Yeah. I should revisit it and see if I can figure out what it was that put me so on edge about that show. Maybe it was the Orson Welles impression.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But, yeah, that's the story of Frozen Peas and peas in general.
Yes. Kind of a random... I just suddenly really wanted to talk about peas. So I hope that it was enjoyable for you out there. And it brings us to
listener mail.
I love that sound you made. That was good. I should have done a Pinky in the Brain kind of send off. But
oh, it's okay. Maybe next time.
I couldn't have done it anyway. I still am working on my William Shatner, so very slow when it comes to mastering impressions.
That's okay. Take your time. These things are important.
Thank you. Our first letter is from Alicia, who wrote, I just listened to your Butter episode and the episode that had a follow-up from someone talking about the Minnesota State Fair. I have a friend whose sister and cousin have both been in the Princess K of the Milky Way court and have had both their heads carved out of butter. My favorite account is one of our friends meeting her sister and asking, aren't you the Butter Princess? And her reply was, yep, my face is still in the freezer if you want to see it. That is a great quote. Butter carving is alive and well in that part of the country.
That's beautiful.
It is. Oh, I want to see some butter carving in action one day.
Yeah. We'll have to go.
Yeah, to our ever-growing list of places.
Steffi wrote in about our Foodstuffs in Movies episode, saying, Halloween is my favorite holiday, and it gave me great ideas for this year's costume. However, at the end of your interview with V, I have a solution to your glass problem, or at least partially, glass candy. If you make glass candy without food dye, you can easily make a small sheet of candy, smash it with a mallet or hammer, it's my favorite part, and instantly you can make it look like someone has glass sticking out of them. Glass candy is super easy to make. It only takes water, corn syrup, sugar, and I recommend a candy thermometer to make it easier. Me too. Also, I'm on a roller derby team. Heck yeah. Shout out to River City Renegades out in Mackinac City, Michigan, and we occasionally travel to Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. We have some teammates who travel from here. So we stop at fast food places sometimes in relation to your McDonald's episode. And I can tell you this. You can find poutine, it's fries with gravy and cheese curds, almost anywhere in Canada, including McDonald's.
However, KFC there doesn't have biscuits.
What?
I know it doesn't sound like much, but we were very surprised.
Oh, we are, as obviously.
Okay, I'm pulling myself back together. Oh, and you can find Tim Hortons everywhere. Anyway, just wanted to share.
Well?
I've never been to a Tim Hortons.
Oh, I have. Very good.
Yeah?
It's kind of funny because you go to Canada and you think, I've got to go, is it Timmy Ho-Ho's? Something. Anyway, and every time I've been to an airport in Canada, which is like 5 or 6 times, there is always a massive line to Tim Hortons, no matter what time it is, no matter if, like, the line is, to me, long enough to make me reconsider my choice if there's other places that are open. Nope. Always a really long line. And there's, like, 3 lines. So there's, like, I just want coffee line. Mm-hmm. There's regular ordering line, and then there's, like, I know exactly what I want, and it's those donut holes and one coffee. I don't need to think about anything. And it's all 3 are long.
Wow.
This has just been my experience, perhaps.
Cultural standpoint. I mean, you know, sure.
It is, yeah. It's lovely. It's delicious. And thank you for the hint about glass candy. If we ever get around to making our foodstuff horror short film, we will keep that in mind.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah, thanks to both of them for writing in. If you would like to write to us, our email is foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at foodstuffhsw, also on Instagram at foodstuff. We do hope to hear from you. Thank you, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, who is just a gem. It's just a gem. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.